flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And despite Buffalo kind of dominating this half, it's a three-point game. New England's still in it.
Popped up in the air, and Rousseau nearly
hit it.
Had a pick.
Get it. Get it. That's a lateral. That's a lateral.
Touchdown, Buffalo! Taron Johnson got over there. It was a backward throw. Ramondre Stevenson, the intended target.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. Patriots Monday on WEEI. No Keefe today. We got Fitzy alongside taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That was one of many frustrating plays in the second half yesterday, Fitzy. You had the Drake May red zone interception. You had the Ramondre Stevenson fumble. You had the backwards pass from May to Stevenson that led to a Bills touchdown that made it a two-score game. You had Mayo electing to punt with 8 minutes to go down 10 after going for a fake punt earlier in the game when the Patriots started very well. So a lot to get into here with about 2 hours to go on a Patriots Monday. We're scheduled to be joined by Christian Gonzalez about a half an hour from now. With all your phone calls again at 617-779-7937. Just to recap, who do you blame on that specific play there? You have May, you have Stevenson, you have Van Pelt, you have Demontre Jacobs. Who do you blame for that?
I mean, look, everyone gets a slice of the pie, right? Some people get, we'll divide it up into 8 pieces like a pizza. Some people get 3 slices, some people get 1, some people get 2. I'm giving 3 slices to Van Pelt, 2 to May, 2 to Ramondre, and 1 to Jacobs.
Okay.
Because Jacobs is the three-legged dog that I can't make fun of anymore. He just, like that, he can only do what
he
can do.
So even though he maybe made the biggest mistake on the play just because of he's so bad, you're going to give him an excuse.
It's just not fun to talk about how bad the offensive line is anymore because none of them are cut out to be starters in the NFL. Like maybe Mike Onwenu. Like that's it. Otherwise, the other 4 may not see a significant snap next year, save for injury. In the National
Football League,
and certainly not in New York. I'd be fine if they literally blew out the entire room.
Yeah.
The whole room.
Including Onwenu.
Fine.
That's friend of the show, Mike Onwenu there. How dare you, Fitzy. Okay. But no, I would be totally, I'm with you. I would be fine. You can move on from the entire offensive line. No offense to good friend of the show, Mike Onwenu. Didn't even need him re-signed last offseason. And so I'm with you on that. And you know how you know it's bad for the O-line? Not just that Drake May was running for his life. Literally every week, Jerod Mayo gets asked this. People talk about it. We get phone calls about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you think this is the week Cole Strange is back? And yeah, what if they put in Caden Wallace at right tackle? Like, these are real discussions every week. Like, those things would actually help.
Right. But I ask you this. We mentioned it at the top of the show, and it was one of the things that was driving me crazy when I was watching the game. It felt like every time May dropped back more than three steps to pass, there were at least two red Pat the Patriot doubling as Buffalo Bills jerseys in the backfield. Like, they had free run.
Do you think they looked up and they were like, oh, those are our guys we're trying to block? You think that's what confused, that's what threw them off yesterday?
A bunch of non-contact jerseys coming at me right now. What the hell, man? Yeah, I thought those uniforms were, I mean, they look nice. They just belong in New England, not in Buffalo.
It was confusing. I got back for the game a touch late yesterday. The Jones family was at the Grinch.
It was
wonderful. I'll tell you, not to spoil anything, but there's one moment. It's a very sophomoric potty humor. But
he's
there was
a mean one.
There was one moment. No. That got a big pop from all the 6 year olds in the crowd. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil anything, but it was a good show. But my point is, by the time I got back, I was a touch late to the game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the uniforms threw me. I was like, wait a minute, who has the ball? What am I watching? First of all, the score is wrong. The Patriots are winning. And second of all, like, what are these uniforms all about? So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We'll get into whether or not Jerod Mayo did enough to save his job. Nick is waiting patiently in Weymouth, though, on Alex Van Pelt. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, comment on a couple plays you talked about. On the play in the end zone, the interception, and oh, by the way, they described it as incidental contact. Who was that, Austin Cooper there? He didn't have much awareness, but the guy clearly did trip him, not intentionally. That should have been a penalty. When they say incidental contact, that means blown call. Anyways, it was a stupid patent to begin with. You had three guys congested in that area. I wouldn't mind, but they got a lot of decent linebackers in Buffalo and cornerbacks. Okay, highly intelligently thought about. Okay, they should have bet. You saw how they played, a good balancing of running.
Yeah, Nick can I just jump in for a moment? Hang on. My call screen says Van Pelt has to go. Is that where you're going with this?
It says what?
Van Pelt has to go?
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Okay, well,
who's calling the plays? That other play, the swing pass that turned into a touchdown. Really? You're going to do that against Greg Russo, who's going to play it right on the line of scrimmage? He was there all over that thing. I'd say they practiced that play probably three times in the preseason. It wasn't poorly coached to throw a pass. You have to lead the guy. You can't throw the pass. Yes, he has to go.
Okay,
if you want to beat that.
So I'm not necessarily against Van Pelt going. I'm with you, Fitzy, earlier. He would be lower on my priority list. So we've done this periodically. We've asked Curran about it. Keith is big on this question. Okay. You're a Mount Rushmore of fireable Patriots coaches, front office types. Elliot Wolf, Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington, who should be safest and who should be on the hottest of hot seats?
Elliot Wolf should probably be on the hottest of hot seats because your free agent class was by and large a whiff and or including, look, yeah, there should be a place for him on the line, but the best offensive lineman free agent who just happened to be on your team, who you paid last year $19 million a season, hasn't performed like it. And then this draft class, I mean, cataclysmic whiff. And I like Elliot Wolf. I had some confidence in the Wolfman, the Wolf of Ball Street, heading into the season. I feel like I've been duped. And it does make you wonder this, Jones, how much, because Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh were working behind the scenes for the last couple of years with Belichick and whoever else was in the gridiron draft player development brain trust, how much of a say did they have in some of the draft picks that didn't pan out over the last couple of years?
So a lot. And this is not to... It's not Fitzy to let Bill off the hook, because Bill obviously had struggles drafting, but it's just to assign some blame to the guys who are still here. And this is what I think is the smoking gun. Tyquan Thornton was on the roster for so long. If they had no say in Tyquan Thornton, the second Bill's gone, you cut him in training camp. That guy was on the roster for such a long time. Mm-hmm. I think that tells you those two guys, or at least Wolf and probably Groh as well, liked him, believed in that pick, were mm-hmm. on board with that pick. So it's not to let Bill off the hook. I think Bill liked all these guys too. It's just to say, I think these two are on board with it as well. And I think Thornton's the one that jumps out to me as the obvious second guess that hung around for too long.
Didn't Matt Groh say a couple of years ago, like, if you want to get fast, you draft fast
Correct.
Players?
Yes.
Yeah. So they drafted a guy who they believed was fast. He is fast. But You know what I'll do? I'll do that. Let's play this game. Name a skinny, fast Baylor receiver that has worked out in the NFL over the last 30 years. I'll hang up and take your call offline.
Yeah, you know what? There was one. Who was the first round pick out of Baylor? There was a Corey
Justin Blackmon.
Oh.
He was good for a year.
I like Corey Coleman. No, Blackmon was from.
So he was from Baylor.
Oklahoma State?
No, yeah, he was. He was Oklahoma State. You're right.
Fact check me on that. I like Corey Coleman. I was a big Corey Coleman guy when he came out of Baylor, and that's one where I said, okay, maybe I need to rethink this
Denzel Mims with the Jets.
Oh, yeah, good one.
They're all tall, thin, fast, and they stink in the NFL. Meanwhile, the human facsimile of Tyquan Thornton, Xavier Worthy, who I thought was too frail to make it in the NFL, scored his seventh touchdown of his rookie season on Saturday against Houston for the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Patriots, as you said earlier, and many have pointed out as well, they could have just sat there and taken Ladd McConkey, and instead they reached for Jalen Polk, who, by the way, it's not just that he can't play. The Patriots watched Washington tape. They watched Washington tape. Maybe they really liked Odunze. They couldn't get him unless they took him instead of May, and I'd prefer Drake May to Rome Odunze. But they watched the tape.
Yeah.
Thank you. And they said, you know who we like? This Jalen Polk character. Not McMillan, who scored again last night and was a third-round pick, and the text line was pointing that out earlier. They got the worst out of three Washington receivers. Never mind just bad guys in the draft and whiffed on a receiver. They got the one guy at Washington who couldn't play in this year's draft.
And I have spoken at the stadium with reporters who have spent a lot of time around Polk, and they all attest to him being a high-quality person, good character. Like, it's not like, this will make it easier to hate on him because he's a jerk. Like, nope, good kid, smart guy, he is lost in trying to figure out his role on this team. He's another example, Jones, of they're just going to run the whole damn operation back.
What, do you got a train station? What is it? What, South Station ready to leave
the city? 12:15. We'll have to get Jones to break on time.
That's never happening.
Grab the bags. Yeah, Jalen Polk, how poorly his season is going right now is exactly how the coaching staff season is going. Like, you can't cut bait on him after 1 year and say he joins the long growing list of Patriot flameout second round wide receiver picks. He's going to get another year, even though he looks to be a complete loss right now. Just like all these coaches, we kind of screwed you guys by giving you no talent. I mean, we gave you Polk, and Polk got these coaches, so everyone's going to get a chance to run it back next season just with some new linemen and a couple of fancy draft picks. So get fired up, fans.
617-779-7937. Text line is buzzing with Josh Gordon. That's a Baylor wide receiver that worked out. But that was a while ago. And
He had his own set of issues. It was a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. So you can continue to chime in there. Again, 617-779-7937. Phone line and text number here on Jones and Keith Fitzy in today. We're going to talk to Christian Gonzalez before the hour's out on a Patriots Monday. Man-to-man-to-man coverage. Three men, 10 questions for Christian Gonzalez. And we'll get to more year in review before the hour's out. Yes or no, Fitzy? Yesterday's first half, because really it wasn't the whole game. First half, Jerod Mayo did enough to save his job.
Best quarter the Patriots played all season. Best overall half the Patriots played all season. And it was on the road in a hostile environment against a good team. They were prepared. They had script, they had tempo, and they had urgency. Yes, they did enough to get the critics off his back for the moment. And yes, in the eyes of owners who we had to hear about over and over again about holding on to him and believing that he's the future leader of this team, he did enough to save his job.
Okay, I'm worried that he did. And if I had to answer yes or no, and I put you on the hot seat, I would say yes, he did enough to save his job. I would not keep him, but even saying that, I had three criteria for him going into the game. And let's put the decision to punt with 8.5 minutes to go. Let's put that to the side for a moment. I had three criteria going into the game.
One.
Number one, cover. Keep it close-ish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a 14.5-point spread by the time the game kicked.
Okay.
But keep it close. All right, check. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
Clean up the penalties and the sloppiness. And they weren't perfect. It's not that they had zero penalties, but I think Buffalo had 13 yesterday. They had 5. I mean, in that regard, they look like the more buttoned-up operation. So, okay, check that one, too. You know, they almost they did have a delay of game in there. They almost had a couple of delay of games, which Mayo was asked about today. It's not that the whole operation was clean, but it was progress from last week against Arizona and progress from the weeks prior going into the bye week. So, okay, check that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third one, and I didn't think there was a prayer he would do this. He didn't say anything terrible that he had to walk back before or after the game. The closest one was his answer to deciding to punt, which, again, we'll get to. Mm-hmm. And that was not a walk it back embarrassing level comment where it was, oh, you said it, I didn't. Or once they're between the white lines, I can't help them. Or burn some cash or any of those. It wasn't on the greatest hits for Mayo. So check, check, check. I would still move on. But did he do enough to save his job yesterday? I'm fearful he did. The Patriots finally, finally showed you a little something in that first half yesterday. Something they didn't show at all in the Arizona game. And I think Mayo is acting like a guy who thinks he saved his job yesterday. Which, again, I'm discouraged by. But if I got to answer it, yeah, I think he did, which is unfortunate.
Okay, it's funny you steer it this way because my criteria for yesterday, I rolled with Mego's emotional roller coaster from the Football Sunday preview show. She tweeted, "Where do you want to see the most dramatic?"
Wait, is that what you refer to that? The Sunday show poll is the emotional roller coaster?
That's what Mego calls it.
Oh, that's what she calls it.
The emotional roller coaster, yes.
Nice.
And that's what we've all been on all season long with this freaking team. Where do you want to see the most dramatic improvement in today's Patriots game? Offensive line, wide receivers, defense, or other? Please explain. Offensive line won handily with 46% of the vote, followed by receivers, defense, and then other. I chose other. And my other was, I want to see the Patriots coach aggressively, play fearlessly, and do not go into this game with a play or coach not to lose mentality. And the difference is, and yes, there were mistakes made, but the mistakes like, you know, Marte Mapu picking off the Josh Allen arm punt and then deciding to run it out. That just tells me that somebody in the secondary, maybe that's a Brian Belichick thing, that hasn't gotten through to him. Like, sit down, take a knee, take the small net win of getting the ball at the 20 and flipping the field for your team, not trying to be too aggressive and make a play. But to go for it on 4th and 2 at your own 24 with that nice fake punt that they executed perfectly in the first half, to come out throwing against Buffalo, touchdown drive, great game script, and then in the second half, throw backwards laterals at the 4-yard line, punt with 8 minutes to go. It was night and day. So they started out giving me hope that they could be more aggressive and be fun to watch and play to win. And then in the end, they played not to lose, and they did.
Yeah, well, and the more you think about it, the first half just pisses you off because they could have done it all year. They could have done it at the end of some of these games. Tennessee, they could have gone for two. You know, they could have been more aggressive in some of these games against Indy, for instance, where they tried to run out the clock with like 8 or 9 minutes to go instead of being aggressive in that situation. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously in them. They obviously could have done it. Mayo did it in the first half yesterday with the fake punt. And then in the second half, they go right back to being afraid of their own shadow, which is maddening, very frustrating. And the punt to me, and we've talked a lot about this. We asked Hunter Henry about it earlier today. I'm sure we'll ask Gonzo about it. The Patriots decided to punt at their own 45, 4th and 6, with 8:33, trailing by 10. There's 8:33 left. You already went for a fake punt at your own whatever it was, 23? Earlier in the game, they ran the fake punt from their own 23 in the second quarter when they were winning.
Right
now, you're down 10 points in the fourth quarter, 8.5 minutes to go. You're going to give the game back to Josh Allen and Buffalo, or give the ball, rather, back to Josh Allen and Buffalo. So Surrender Index is a Twitter account that tracks these things. Mm-hmm. With a surrender index of 9.08, which I know no idea how they calculate that, that punt ranks in the 95th percentile of cowardly punts in the 2024 season and the 91st percentile of all punts in the last 25 years, going back to 1999. It was coaching scared. It was coaching, you know, not to get blown out and to keep it close as opposed to coaching to win. And that to me was frustrating. Never mind the Mayo explanation after the game. Here's what he had to say about that decision to punt in that spot.
You guys went for it on 4th and 1 from your own 23, but then on that same drive, 4th and 1 from your own 34, you punted. What was the thought process there?
I'm not going to get too much into the thought process on that. You know, I'll try to do what was best for the team.
What made punting from midfield in the fourth quarter the best decision?
To me, it's a field position thing.
Okay. First of all, good follow-up, ready to go there. I did what's best for the team. Oh, why is that best for the team? To coach like a wuss? Why is that best for the team? So good exchange there. What did you think of that explanation from Mayo? That's the closest he did to sticking his foot in his mouth. Oh, it's a field position game when there's 8.5 minutes left and you're down 2 scores.
I don't want to get into the thought process there. Well, that's what the whole entire discourse between the reporters, the media,
right,
and the coaches is at a postgame presser, Gerard. I don't know. Like, How? I just want to know how. Yeah, like I like her follow up. How is that in the best interest of the team to have to go back on defense and in 8 minutes they'll have the ball, they'll easily chew up a minute, and then they're going to get the ball back to you. You'll have to score. Then you'll have to get back to them, stop them again, get the ball back again, and score. As opposed to now, when you have possession of the ball and it's fourth and not a whole terribly lot to gain, and you're near midfield, just go for it. Just go for it now. If you allow Buffalo to get a field goal, okay, now instead of a touchdown and a field goal in the waning minutes of the game, you'll have to get two touchdowns. If you coach like that, you're not going to win. And by the way, we've gone 2 hours and 19 minutes into the show without either of us having a hair across our ass for the onside kick. Why did they onside kick at the end of the game?
So I'll be honest, I didn't hate that one, but I thought it was odd when they did it. I did not have a big issue with that, but you have a hair across your ass. Why?
I did, because at that, why would you, you're going to waste time on the onside kick. They only work at a 7% rate. You put it in the hands of your defense. If your defense is evolving and you want to give them a chance to show that they can handle clutch moments and winning time, kick the ball down to the 20-yard line and make them stop them. And here's the thing. If you don't get the onside kick, now Buffalo is definitely going to make a field goal. And then they're going to kick it off to you. You'll have very little time, and you'll have the ball deep. Whereas if you pin Buffalo back to their 20, and God forbid you hold them, they punt a hard rock to you at like the 40. If you gain 10 or 15 yards, you have a chance to either A, try another dumb long field goal, or B, throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
I totally get your logic, and I believe,
I like it.
I believe Belichick would have done what you just laid out. I think Belichick would have kicked in that scenario. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't hate it just because I didn't think they were stopping the Bills either way. So give yourself a chance to get the ball back and be aggressive. I didn't hate that, but that was a closer one to me. Mm-hmm. But if you want to jump in on that, you can. 617-779-7937. Second guesses for Gerard Mayo following the Patriots' 24-21 cover against the Buffalo Bills. Not a win. Is it a moral victory for the Patriots? Is it proof the guys are still playing hard for Gerard Mayo? Again, 617-779-7937. We've asked the question, did he do enough to save his job? Both Fitzy and I think he did. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't keep him. But if you're putting me now in Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft's shoes, and I got to say, did he do enough to keep his job? My guess is yes. So how do you feel about that if he gets another year? And it is possible all of the coaches survive, at least the prominent ones, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, according to Phil Perry. We'll get back into that coming up as well. We have the year in review at 12:45. We're scheduled to be joined by Christian Gonzalez on a Patriots Monday here. Plus, we'll get to Drake May. How much blame does the young quarterback deserve for yesterday's loss? That's right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots are now 3-12 and have dropped five straight after yesterday's 24-21 loss to the Bills. Pats have two games remaining on the schedule, beginning with Saturday's matchup against the Chargers at Gillette Stadium. Week 16 wraps up with a Monday night football game between the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. Kickoff is at 8:15, and you can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM, with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30. According to Jeff Passan, right-handed pitcher Walker Buehler and the Boston Red Sox are in agreement on a one-year, $21.05 million contract, sources tell ESPN. The Bruins and the Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees host the Washington Capitals. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. And the Caesar in Orlando to play the Magic. Tip-off at the Kia Center is also at 7 o'clock. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday here on WEEI. No Keefe today. Out for the holidays, which means we have Fitzy alongside. Taking you up until 2 o'clock. Drake May scheduled to join WEEI Afternoons. with Arcan and Hart on a Patriots Monday. And also joining us each and every Patriots Monday is Christian Gonzalez, Patriots cornerback. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. You?
We're doing well. It was a better performance for you guys yesterday, despite the loss. What do you think worked well in the first half compared to the second half?
We just came out fast, made plays in the first half, and we didn't execute too well in the second half.
So, Christian, looking at the box score, it seems like they really didn't throw much your way yesterday. Were you anticipating a heavier workload yesterday? Were you anticipating that they weren't going to throw your way, or did that come as a surprise to you?
You know, always going into the game expecting targets. That's the art of the position. You never know how many you can get or how many, you just got to make the plays that come your way. So just always staying ready.
Marte Mapu made a play that came his way yesterday. He picked off Josh Allen in the end zone, which was good. He also ran it out, or at least attempted to run it out of the end zone, which was regrettable. How do you balance, you know, taking a knee in that spot versus running it out?
I mean, you know, it's just all about, you know, thinking you have a time to take it out or not. I mean, it's kind of hard, but, you know, happy for him that he was able to make the play. And I believe offense went on a long drive after that, so worked out.
So yesterday, in absence of a lot of targets coming your way, it seems the Buffalo was trying to target your teammate Jonathan Jones, who was on Khalil Shakir a lot, played a really, really, really good game. I think only one pass completed on him all day for Shakir. How impressed were you by that performance, and what does somebody like Jonathan Jones mean to you as a teammate?
A lot. I mean, he means a lot. You know, he's the vet of the room, and, you know, always there when any of us have questions. I mean, wasn't surprised at all by the performance. You know, he's been playing at a high level for a real long time. So happy for him that he got to show that again.
I know a lot of guys, when we ask about playing in the elements, they're like, it's great playing in the elements. I love playing in the cold and the snow and all this. But be honest, how much does a freezing game like yesterday, how much does that suck? Because that did not look fun for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's tripping. They're saying they haven't played as cold. That was the coldest I've ever been. So
as cold as you've ever been, really?
No. Yeah, I mean, it don't affect you, but, you know, you don't let it affect the game, but it's cold out there for sure.
Christian, have you had a chance to, over the weekend, I'm sure you were very busy, obviously, preparing for a big game like that as well, but did you have a chance to watch any of the college football playoffs, and are you fired up for your Ducks, who have a big opportunity coming up in just over a week?
Yeah, I watched a couple of the games. First round, we know, wasn't too entertaining. It was some blowouts. But, yeah, I mean, we got Oregon got a big one coming up. You know, part two, seeing Ohio State again. So, you know, Ohio State looked good. So,
I don't want to
come out and see what we got to do.
I'm sorry to jump in, Christian. I don't want to get you in any trouble with, you know, wagering on games or anything like that. But Oregon is an underdog. I was shocked to see this. Oregon beat Ohio State earlier this year. It was at Autzen. It wasn't on a neutral field. But Oregon beat Ohio State earlier this year. They're actually an underdog in that game. Any thoughts on that?
That's cool. I mean, you know, give us even more, even they give them more, you know, want to so given Oregon the underdog is, I mean, we'll take it.
Christian, I was kind of curious, you know, one of the big things, like, you know, you see like quarterbacks give a lot of gifts to their offensive linemen and such, and people exchanging gifts around the holidays. Does the secondary do any sort of like gift exchanging? Is there like a Yankee swap or anything? Do you guys do that on the team?
I mean, sometimes. It depends. We talk about it.
But not this year, it sounds like.
I don't know. We might.
Okay, well, that's true. You still got some time, which I think is going to tie in. Well, are you ready for man-to-man-to-man coverage? 3 men, 10 questions. You ready, Gonzo?
All right.
Let's hit it.
It's man-to-man coverage. Quick hitters with Christian Gonzalez.
Now, Christian, you may have spoiled the answer already with this one. Are you all done with your Christmas shopping?
No, I'm not.
Okay, Christian, when it comes to Christmas gifts, do you wrap your own or do you pay someone to do it for you?
I usually have somebody do it.
Nice. All right, this has been a big discussion on this talk radio station and throughout the country. Do NBA players, in your opinion, shoot too many threes?
No, let it fly.
Let it fly. Okay. I'm not sure if you're a big holiday movies guy, Christian, but maybe the most iconic line of all time, no man who has friends is a failure. Is that true or false?
No man who has what?
No man who has friends is a failure. Is that true or false?
False. True. I don't know.
Okay, it's one or the other. What was the one Christmas gift you always wanted as a kid but never got?
Probably some shoes or something.
Some shoes. Mine was the Ninja Turtles pizza flipper van. I never got that. I was real distraught still to this day.
I always wanted an Easy Bake Oven. Scented candles, totally lit or just not it?
Yeah, I like them. They're cool.
Lit. Have you ever seen Pocket Money on NESN?
What?
Pocket Money. It was a very popular show on NESN. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Ooh, it was good.
Yeah, questionable host. Christian, re-gifting, acceptable around the holidays, yes or no?
One more time.
Re-gifting. Is it acceptable to re-gift around the holidays? You know, get a gift and then give it to someone else.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
When is the appropriate... Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, you good.
When is the appropriate time, Christian, to take down all your Christmas stuff? Tree, decorations, all that. When's the appropriate time to do that?
After New Year's.
Wait till New Year's? Okay. Start the New Year off right. And Christian, when you go to the movies, smuggling in your own food and drink, is it cool every time or is that a total crime?
You always got to take your own stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, that's how you do man-to-man-to-man coverage. 3 men, 10 questions. Christian, we always appreciate it. Best of luck with the final couple of games. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, too.
All right, Christian Gonzalez joining us here on a Patriots Monday, as he does each and every week. He had not seen Pocket Money, unfortunately.
I can't believe that. I mean, they rerun it all the time, too. It's the Hallmark.
Shawshank
on TNT. It's just always there.
I can't remember. For those of you that don't know, Fitzy was of course the very talented host of Pocket Money on NESN. There was a time where you and Arcan were working together. It could have been, you know, holiday season. It could have been before I was working here. I don't recall. But you and Arcan were working together, and Arcan's like, "I love that Pocket Money show," and you're like, "Dude, get out of my face with that." You're like, "Come on," and then he's like, "No. I really liked it." But I think you thought he was messing with you.
I totally thought he was, because I used to get so much crap from people about that show, of which I was in charge of none of the elements whatsoever, except for being the bozo host of the program. But turns out, no, he was actually a fan of the show. I wish I had a chance to go back and do that show over again, but with an actual budget this time.
You need more pocket money.
I needed more pocket money to pull off the show. It was super fun doing it though at the time. It was the first TV show I'd hosted on my own. Interesting. I almost asked Gonzo this question as well. Tell me how you feel about this exchange.
Oh, good.
So down at the, you know, obviously I run into a lot of random people down at the stadium doing my little fan service Joker on the Jumbotron routine. And one time I had taped something. I was up in the meet, and then I went up to the media room, and I'm going down through some elevators to the field level to go pull off one of those segments. And there's three ladies waiting for the elevator. And one of them looks to be, I don't know, maybe around my age or so, lovely young lady. And she's wearing a bright red T-shirt that says Christian Gonzalez is good. So I approached her and I said, oh, would you mind if I snapped a photograph of that for Instagram? And she said, no, no problem. And so she poses. And then the girl standing next to her, who was younger, fetching young lass, says, oh, by the way, do you know that's Christian Gonzalez's mom?
Whoa.
And then and I said, oh, really? She's like, yeah, I would know because I'm his sister.
Oh.
I should have asked Gonzo this. Did you know that your mom wears a T-shirt to your games that says Christian Gonzalez is good?
You definitely. I mean, he must know that. I would hope he knows that. But yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting behind the curtain, peek behind the curtain. Did they say anything about man-to-man-to-man coverage? Did that come up?
They did not.
They did not?
It was a very brief exchange.
I can only imagine they love it.
If I ever see them again, I'll ask them, ladies. Do you know that rapid fire segment that Christian gets so excited about every week on the radio, man to man to man coverage?
Yes.
It is truly
What's the name
like
of that radio show, Christian.
Oh, I should have done that today. I should have thrown that back at him.
What,
I
know Jeff and Fritzy?
I know you got the name of it in the past, but what's the name of this radio show again? We should have thrown that back at him, Nick. That's an oversight on my end. We asked him about Christmas. Are you done Christmas shopping yet, Fitzy?
Oh, I'm a very early Christmas.
Are you?
I start in late summer, early fall.
No, you don't.
I'm months out. Like, I start thinking
seriously?
About... Yeah, yeah.
I like redlining my Christmas shopping. If you're asking me and it's before Christmas Eve, the answer is no, I have not finished my shopping. Like, there's a chance I'm going after this. Mm-hmm. There's a chance I'm still not done today and I'm doing more Christmas shopping tomorrow. And you know what? I like the thrill. I like the rush of just cutting it real close. You know, letting everybody in my life down. I think I like that rush that it gives me. I think that's what it is. I'm an adrenaline junkie, is what I am.
You are, yeah. For sure, which is exactly why you crafted that segment, which many people are already describing as the most must-listen radio segment in Boston sports entertainment right now. Man, a man, a man.
It's up there.
Without a doubt. Well, I mean, but you get that and what happened within an hour of each other. It's sort of like, my God, just give me a scotch and a cigarette.
Right, like,
better than any sex, Jones.
All on Monday?
In this economy, no less?
Seriously.
I will say, though, I do frequent the mall over the like the last
it's
2 weeks.
It's the only time I go to the mall all year.
It's fun.
I think that's all malls are good
for.
They
pump in casino oxygen into the mall. I go there. I get retail high. I make a couple of unnecessary purchases. You stop in. Maybe you watch some sports. You know, you grab a quick beer for the kids. I'm going right after the show today.
I stop at the food court, get a snack.
Yeah.
And Nick, I'll ask you this. What's more fun than just waltzing through the food court and somebody comes by with like a little tray of the bourbon chicken, like with the toothpick and like all the little bites of all the
real
high
nice.
Sodium.
Actually, anything's better than that because I hate when people ask me to take free stuff.
Why?
I chop those down. You don't eat those? I chop those things down. No problem.
I'll change hats and circle back and grab a second one.
Nice. Okay, so I have not done my Christmas shopping. You can jump in on that as well. 617-779-7937, along with all your thoughts on the Patriots yesterday. Did Gerard Mayo do enough to keep his job? I'm fearful that he did. We'll get back to Drake May. How much blame does he deserve? Plus, it's possible Mayo, Van Pelt, and Covington are all back. That's according to Phil Perry at NBC Sports Boston. And we'll give you more year in review next.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. No Rich today. He's out for the holidays. Fitzy alongside today. Doing a great job. We've been reliving some of our year in review. Really, like, you know, 3 months plus in review of Jones and Keefe. Not a full year. It's just been a jam-packed 3 months. It just feels like a year. But earlier we played you when Drake May first got the job as starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Fitzy, working here together today, you know I like a nice costume. I showed up in my my Christmas tracksuit that really does look like a Sopranos ripoff is really what it actually looks like.
The Squid Game outfit, yes.
Thank you, Squid Game tracksuit. you're wearing your Santa hat as well, so we're all dressed up.
This is like uniform for me all of December. I just like wearing it. It just makes, like, when you walk in a store, someone goes like, oh, St. Nick is here. And I don't even bother with that's my name. It makes people happy. Kids like it. It's just, I don't know why. I just like wearing a Santa hat all of December, so, you know? replaces the usual Fitzy lid that I wear the rest of the year.
Well, that's true, and it's a reason to tune in always on Twitch and YouTube, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and subscribe on YouTube as well to WEEI. You can always watch along and see Fitzy in his Christmas hat, but I normally like dressing up. We all dressed up as a show for Halloween, and I was taken to task. Despite all the effort, I was taken to task by Wiggy for my Halloween costume. Yeah. Wiggy's got a bone to pick, though, right?
Yes, I do have a bone to pick. Can you hear me here?
No, we got you. Yeah, you sound great. You sound spectacular.
Doesn't talk. No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But we're breaking character. That's fine.
I said to Adam, when you do a costume, you have to do it where I know it. And I'm like, are you just a rocket ship?
Yeah. There's like a rocket man sitting on the front of the rocket blasting off. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just
a
fan in there.
Gross. Yeah, it's just a rocket ship, yes.
You
yeah.
should. Let me take this off
please.
So I can talk.
Just actual horror.
Surprise! It's me!
No, it's your name,
the whole time. I didn't know if you guys
Super
knew
Bowl
it was
champion.
Me.
Yes. So I don't get enough lectures at home. I gotta show up and get lectured by Wiggy about my Halloween costume.
Well, because
what is
I am,
your issue?
I feel like I am the honorary Halloween costume guy.
Yeah. I agree.
And
I agree.
Like Rich Raleigh Fingers, get it, love it, hilarious.
Yeah.
I know
baseball
that.
Hall of Famer, 4-time Rolling Loud Relief Man of the Year, Raleigh
Nick
Fingers.
Chewbacca.
Yep.
Got that? Stop making the sound.
No, that's good. That's true.
Really? No. My buddy?
Yep.
Get it.
That's a costume.
Yeah. That, get
that's
it.
That's a costume. Look at good fellas back there.
Yeah. You're just a regular rocket ship.
Yeah. I'm just
that's
a,
like,
just
would be
in.
One thing if it was the Toy Story rocket, man.
Okay. So next
I would
year,
know
next year.
John.
Huh?
Elton John.
Or Elton John. Oh, yeah, if you dressed up like
Elton
that.
Elton John, Buzz Lightyear,
say,
Buzz
yeah,
Aldrin.
Like, then no. I know it.
I think, yeah, but you're costume shaming.
Yeah.
At least, yeah, you're costume shaming.
Well, because I'm trying to just help you out. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not like shaming. It's like constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Got it.
It was shaming is what it was. But you know what?
It
the
was.
More, I think Wiggy has a point. It was my son was dressed up as an astronaut. So it was an accent to my son's Halloween costume, but you know what? Next year I'm going to take that to it's got to be something that Wiggy recognizes. That's how I'm going to pick my Halloween costume.
You also need to get real batteries.
He is definitely the
That is true. We had like cheap dollar store batteries that kept giving out in the middle of the show. That didn't help either.
He is the what's the name of the fellow from Project Runway? He is the Tim Gunn of Halloween costume assessment.
Yeah, he's like a Simon Cowell, but you know what? That's what the people want. You don't want to go easy with you don't want a Paula Abdul. You don't want that. That's too. You don't want a Randy Jackson. You want a Simon Cowell is what you want.
Right. I actually heard that happen live, and I believe at some point, whether it was an in-person crossover or some sort of exchange, digital exchange, I like the outfit.
Thank you very much. It's very Paula Abdul of you, but thank you very much.
I did. I liked it. I also like trying to have to guess what some people are sometimes, or like a little nuance to a Halloween costume. It doesn't have to just jump right out. I get it. I'm a wolf man. Yes, I get it. I saw it. You're wearing a wolf mask. There are hairs coming through your shirt. You have claws on.
In fairness, I didn't think it was that difficult, but that was Wiggy costume shaming back on Halloween. Text line 617-779-7937. Jones, I'm a piece of crap as well. I didn't call myself a piece of crap. I just said I haven't done my Christmas shopping yet. I'm a piece of crap as well. I have most of my shopping left. I work today and tomorrow. I still have plenty of time. I think you got plenty of time.
Well, my question about people that shop at the last minute and crunch it down into 24 to 48 hours is now it's becoming an obligation. Shouldn't Christmas shopping be something that, like...
No, it is an obligation. It's absolutely an obligation. That's what it is.
Where's the joy in that?
No joy in shopping for someone else. There's not that much. I don't mind when they open the gift, but the whole shopping and the schlep, there's no joy in that.
Well, then just why not have the boxes from Amazon show up and just leave them on the porch until Christmas morning, put some names on them and let them have at it?
I told you, I think I like the rush of maybe letting everybody down. I think that's what it is. I'm seeking that adrenaline rush. I think deep down is... okay. I need that psychoanalyze. But I think that's what it is.
So Waze tells you it's going to take 23 minutes to get someplace, and you only have 20 minutes to get there.
Yes.
You're like, I can beat the estimate.
I'm like a Jack Bauer, I think, in my head.
I can do
for
Christmas. Damn it,
yeah.
Chloe.
Exactly. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. Mike is in the car. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, boys? Happy holidays.
Happy too, buddy.
I got to say, Fitzy, I am also wearing a Santa hat in my Uber today, so I understand it does bring people a lot of joy, so kudos to you.
You as well.
And this isn't why I called, but let me tell you, the Christian Gonzalez interview every week, it sounds like a hostage tape, man. I am being treated very well. I enjoy playing in New England.
You're not that far
Look
off.
At the camera and smile. But the reason why I called is, you know, this team, this coaching staff, I should say, there's no identity. I mean, what is the identity of this team? 16 games in, or 15 games in, I should say, I don't know. Sometimes they're aggressive, sometimes they're conservative. Yesterday, they looked like, hey, maybe they were actually going to try to be creative, but then they go super conservative in the second half. There's no consistency week to week, and it's really concerning, and that's why I really don't think they should come back next year. And I'll finish it off with this. I said this to KJ and Lyons last week. It's there is nothing on this team that you could say is better week 16 than it was in week one. No facet of this team has improved.
That's not true. Outside of Drake May, I would agree with him. That this was your gripe earlier, Fitzy, correct, about the lack of an identity. That was your gripe earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they are. Like, you could say the identity of this team is the struggling coaching staff. You could say the identity of this team is the fact that they're lousy and that they're mired in a longer rebuild than even they probably anticipated. Or you could say that they're the Matriots because you know them for Drake May, and that's it. But they don't have that's a pass-centric team. That's a tough running team. That's the Legion of Boom with that great defense. I really thought they were going to be a bunch of barroom brawlers that were going to make us proud of a rough and tumble effort every week, like after the Cincinnati game in the first half of Seattle. And then once that game fell apart and Jacoby Brissett took the sack late against Seattle, setting up Seattle's game tying field goal, they've been identity free since. And then the Jets kicked the snot out of them the next week and the season was basically over.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here. We will get back to Phil Perry's story as well. I don't know how this was close to kickoff. This came out in the middle of the day yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much this got lost, but the Patriots have an all or nothing approach when it comes to their coaching staff. They're either all back or none of them are back. We'll get to that with all your phone calls coming up next.